Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I've never seen you so busy. I've known you for how long have I known you now? Seven years, 8 years, and I've never...
This has been a little hectic, but it's because, I'm finishing this bite of food. Isn't that attractive? Not that our poor listeners aren't used to our complete and utter amateur behavior around here. Jeez. I know, dude. I've got Losers wrapping up this week, and then we've got the finale and all the drama around that. And then I have Slim for Life that came out, and then the Hard Body came out, and then... Now the tour, and I'm promoting the tour and doing all that stuff to create, because the tour, oh my gosh, the tour is really hard because it's scripted. So what that means is you have to hit all these points in conjunction with the videos that are behind me.
Oh, it's that tight.
Oh, dude, and it's 2 hours. So you kind of got to, you got to bullet it out.
2 hours straight?
No, there's an intermission, but I'm looking at like, they sent me the opening video for it, which is so wild. And it's on these huge LED screens, like you see at a concert. Yeah. You got to approve. I'm approving, like, every graphic, every song, every, you know, bullet we're writing out, every piece of merchandise on the tour. So it's a full-time job. And trying to promote the book. And trying to promote the new DVD. And wrapping up Loser. And I have 2 kids. And I have a company to run. And I'm just... Have a little,
Well, tired. I know you got sick from Phoenix, right? You got the flu. You got the stomach flu.
Oh, my gosh. The little sucker almost killed me. He gave me the stomach flu on Valentine's Day. And then from that, my immune system was weakened, and I was working like 18-hour days, so I caught influenza B. And then, from that.
You didn't have a flu shot? I thought you had a flu shot.
You know something? I thought I did, too. And I got to tell you, like. If I was to give you guys any takeaway right now in this segment, I'm sorry. It's get your flu shot. And I know there are those of you out there going, you don't know what's in there. And you know what? I don't know what's in there. And I got to tell you, I don't care because I didn't get my flu shot. And let me tell you how much Cipro I've been on for the last month of my freaking life. First, I got a Z-Pak. Then I got Omnicef. Then I relapsed again and had to go on Cipro. So if you look at all the crap that I've had to put in my body because I got the flu, I also had to take Tamiflu as well, which is an antiviral. So I'm going to say, you know something? I have kids. I have a business to run. I felt like hell for the last month because I got the flu, I then got a bacterial infection in my chest and got community pneumonia and got checked into the hospital.
Should we be in this room together?
No, I'm okay now. I'm okay. I swear to God.
Okay.
I promise. I'm okay. But the reality is that because I guess I didn't get the flu shot, because I have gotten it before. Mm-hmm. I obviously must not have, because I got the flu. They did a nasal swab. I had influenza B. You kind of got to look at in life what's the lesser of evils here.
Yeah.
So all those antibiotics, that's pretty darn bad for you, I'm going to tell you. I would venture to say it's worse than whatever the heck might have been or might be or is rumored to be in that flu shot, which most doctors will tell you is really nothing. It's not like there's mercury in there. That's not true. But if I'm wrong and I don't know, I would rather have gotten the flu shot than have to have done everything that I had to put my body through, as you can hear, I'm still coughing a little, to get better. So, my God, get a little perspective. And I don't know how moms do it because, I mean, I was on the couch with 102.7.
Oh,
and
Jillian,
I'm laying
crazy.
There, right? I'm like, I'm dying. I'm officially dying. What is wrong with me? And the next day they checked me into the hospital. Dr. Van Hurley checked me into the hospital, actually. And my daughter is sitting next to me.
Aww.
Right? I'm out. And she sits next to me. She brings her little iPad mini and she puts on Minnie Mouse. She likes Mickey Mouse, but it's like it was a Minnie Mouse cartoon. And she goes, "Mama's sick," and starts petting my head. Right?
Aww.
She goes, "Mickey Mouse, Mama, you feel better."
She wasn't scared, though. She wasn't scared that you were
sick. I don't know. That's the sad thing is I was really worried about it. So my mom came and stayed with the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And Heidi stayed with me in the hospital and went back and forth because I was actually kind of concerned that she might be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "I'm fine, buddy." But I couldn't get off the couch. Could not get off the couch.
Oh, flu. There's nothing that'll hit you like a truck, like a flu and a walking pneumonia. You know what I mean? I mean, seriously. What? It's brutal.
Jeez. And it was just a combination of like not resting, not taking a minute. And you really have to slow down. You have to, or life slows you down. And everybody was like, "No, you know, you have to go to Vegas for the speaking engagement. Oh my God, you have an SMT for the book." Like I was going on 3-4 hours of sleep because I was working until midnight. And then I was having to get up at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Country. I saw you on.
I was in Toronto, New York, Las Vegas,
Chicago.
I mean, like, it was crazy. And I just got sick as a dog. And here's the thing. It's like, the show must go on. Well, really, when you're in the hospital, guess what? Show stops. Here's what I don't get, though. You see that little IV mark? I was in the hospital, what, a week and a half ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more.
Almost 2 weeks ago.
I still have a needle mark on my arm. How do those heroin addicts do it?
Well, that's what you call the track marks.
Yeah. I guess so.
You got the track marks.
I got the track marks.
Now you're going to have to wear long sleeves and turtlenecks.
Yeah.
Because you're the
Well, it's in my forearm. Turtleneck.
Well,
injecting my carotid artery. Turtleneck. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Don't the junkies have to wear the turtlenecks?
I don't think they wear turtlenecks.
Only when they get crazy and start poking elsewhere.
I think sleep. No, they poke like between their toes and stuff. I watch Breaking Bad. Here's the thing.
I thought I saw that.
I watched Breaking Bad. I've seen Basketball Diaries too. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh yeah. He got into the bit of trouble.
It's like
too.
1,000 years ago, but. All right, so a little more takeaway before we end this segment. So the Biggest Loser finale, right?
Yep.
That's this week or tonight even.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could just say, when I look back on this past season, I had 5 team members. All were good people. None of them were like game players. They were all likable. They were all lovable. But at the end of that first workout, which was unlike any other first workout I've ever had in that it actually only went on for 45 minutes... So the whole workout was an hour. Of the last 45 minutes I spent, or the last hour I spent 15 minutes with the kids, training the kids and then talking to the kids. So my contestants were in the gym for 45 minutes. In that 45 minutes, 3 of them quit. And then Pam, actually, when I wasn't there, when she was just on the Stairmaster while Bob was watching her while I was outside with the kids, she got thrown out of the gym by Dr. Hazanga, who said, no, Pam, you look faint. Go outside. I wasn't even in the gym. The only one left standing was Danny. And I walked out of that gym and I was like, this is a disaster. Like I've never, in all fairness, I'm not trying to be nice and I'm not trying to be mean. I've never had such a disastrous sort of group. lovely. But I mean, you know, quitting 6 times in 6 minutes, quitting 10 times in 15 minutes. Yep. Nikki never even tried once. I mean, Pam got thrown out of the gym by the doctor. I wasn't even in the gym. I mean, it was the worst. And Brittany, you know, normally these workouts go on for 2 hours plus, you know, in the beginning. Like, I've never seen anything like it. And the only one left standing was Danny. We get all the way to the end of the show, and I don't know. She may win. I hope she wins. I actually don't know. It's a live finale. I don't know where the other two can, you know, where Jeff and Joe or Jackson are. But it goes to show you that you're going to get out of something what you put in. Because she was the only one left standing on my team. She's the only female in the finale. Right. And she may win the entire show. And that girl, she had her issues. Of course she did. And we struggled and we worked through them. But she showed up every day. Mm. And, you know, it's funny because I've been doing all of this. We've been writing out the scripts for the tour and the points I want to hit. And, yeah, you're going to learn to eat right, blah, blah, blah. You're going to learn to work out, whatever. But that's not actually the majority of the show. The majority of the show is understanding, learning to understand what makes you tick, why you do what you do, how you get in your own way, and subsequently how to get the hell out of your own way so that you can achieve those dreams and you can achieve those goals. But if you don't show up, literally show up for your life, for the lesson, if you don't engage, then nothing is going to change.
Right.
And you can look at it and see it in real time. Here's a girl that no matter what, no matter how hard it got, no matter how many times she fell down, no matter how many struggles she had, she showed up every day, mm-hmm. which is more than I can say for most of those contestants this season. Gina had trouble showing up. Alex had trouble showing up. Jeff had moments of not showing up. Joe, even though they didn't air it, really, Joe was like, bitching and moaning, didn't show up a lot. My whole team, like, they started to show up, but too late because it's competitive. So by the time they kind of were like, hold on, I'm going to show up, it was like, oh, it's too late. You know, you lost the weigh-in. And it shows you that if you show up, even when it's hard, even when you're falling down, even when you're falling apart, if you show up, it all works out in the wash. It all comes together in the end. Because look at her. Look where she's at. So, I don't know. I think that's the lesson. And we're going to need to watch the show tonight and see what happens and who wins. Jackson actually showed up. So, he, you know, maybe he'll walk away with it. I personally hope it's between... I really love Jeff and I think he's great, but... He didn't work as hard as Danny or Jackson. He just didn't. And neither did Joe. So for me personally, like if there's justice in the world, I'd like to see one of those two win. Mm. But we'll see, you know? Anyway, that's cool. It. Get your flu shot and show up. All right.
Don't you work. Get your flu shot and show up.
Moving on.
All right, moving on. Very good.
All right. So you want a snappy
love the snaps.
Sort of snappy.
Okay.
So I thought we would do a little segment from my book Slim for Life, and it's called Slim Myths. So throughout the book, I dispel all of these different sort of weight loss myths from diet to exercise, and I thought we might tackle a few here.
Certainly.
All right, number one, ready? Genetics make you fat. No, they don't. Genetics do not make you fat.
I always thought that.
No, you didn't. You couldn't have. You're too... No.
I thought the genetics played a role in overweightness.
Overweightness? No.
I truly did.
No. Genetics do not make you fat. Eating bad food and too much food will make you fat, period. Now, while it's true that some of us have a genetic predisposition to a slower metabolism, that's a predisposition. What that means, and I've said this a million times, which is why I'm mad that you are not paying attention, your genetics are dynamic. They're not static. And what that means is that the expression of your genetics is affected by the way that you eat, the way that you live. So
You mean we can change our genetics?
You can change the way that your genetics express themselves.
Okay.
So if heart disease runs in your family, but you work out and you eat right and you eat hard, healthy food and you avoid trans fat and you do your regular checkups and what have you and you supplement with your fish oils and all of this or that, most likely, chances are extraordinarily high, you will never get heart disease. Now, if heart disease runs in your family and you eat trans fat all the time and you never work out and you eat tons of sugar and garbage, then you've increased your chances dramatically of getting heart disease. Obesity is the same thing. My dad was overweight. I can be overweight if I eat poorly, but when I eat well, I can control my weight. All the contestants on the show, my family's overweight. I've always been overweight. Well, if I look at what they're doing, it's because they're eating too much. And there hasn't been a person I've ever had that I couldn't take weight off of. So with that said, while it might be easier for me to be heavy than it is for someone else to be heavy, like for Heidi to gain weight, I swear, she'd have to eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then two snacks of Ben and Jerry's in between because her metabolism is extremely fast. But if I did the things that Heidi did or someone who can't put on weight, I would gain weight. But the reality is I had an overweight dad. I was an overweight kid. But when I cleaned up my diet and I worked out, I'm in great shape. I don't know. I'm in good shape, right? I'm in really good shape. So the reality is that genetics do not make you fat. It's the food you eat and the way that you live that's going to affect how your genes express themselves. Okay, next one. High protein, low carbohydrate diets are the healthiest way to lose weight or the best way to lose weight. This is totally not true. Complex carbohydrates are necessary for, a host of functions that go on in the body, from a healthy reproductive system, good skin, good nails, hair growth, eyesight, hormonal balance. And when I say complex carbs, we're talking about vegetables, we're talking about whole grains. Obviously, I'm not talking about white flour or white sugar, which, by the way, if you eat that in moderation, and again, I go back to my 80-20 balance, if 20% of your calories is from sugar and, white flour, you're not going to die and you're not going to be fat either. So that's just not true. People still come to me and say, well, I'm not eating any carbs. I'm like, why are you doing that? Like, that's so antiquated. Right. Totally a total myth. Completely not true. The next one. Vegetarian diets are healthier than diets that incorporate meat. This is not true. Now, a lot of times with people who are vegetarian, they don't know how to do it properly and they become sort of carbitarians. So it's like, it's like cereal and pastas and breads and grains, and they don't know how to do it properly. With that said, if you're a vegan and you're eating lots of beans and lots of nuts and lots of whole grains and lots of vegetables, well, good for you. But if you're not a vegan and you're an omnivore and you're having, grass-fed beef once or twice a week and a little organic chicken and a little bit of ocean-caught salmon and some organic eggs, this is not unhealthy for you. So it's about the quality of the animal products that you're consuming and the amount in which you consume them.
Right.
It really is that simple. And many doctors will argue that as human beings, we are omnivores. They talk about our teeth, our digestive system, and the nutrients that we don't get from a solely plant-based diet of certain vitamin Bs, iron. You can become calcium deficient if you don't stay on top of it. And this is just, I've seen forks over knives. I went vegan for 2 years and, by the way, never felt worse. I know this. And I love animals. Please understand, I love animals. If I could go blood-free with my diet, I would if I felt that it was good for me and healthy for me. I can't do it. So for me personally, I do what I consider ethical meat, organic meat that's raised ethically in moderation. But if you think just point-blank statement, vegan diet is a healthier diet, it's not true. It's how you do both diets, a diet with meat and a vegan diet. And if both are done correctly, by the way, I'm not going to point fingers, but one is certainly not better than the other.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. Next one. Get excited, Janice.
Okay.
Are you excited?
Yes.
Eating small meals boosts your metabolism. True or false?
Well, Do you ever pay attention?
I don't think it boosts your metabolism. I think it's better for you, but I don't know if it... Yeah, maybe it does.
No, it's the worst.
Oh, shoot.
I always say not to snack or graze throughout the day.
I know, but no. little meals.
No, little meals are terrible. They're terrible from a behavioral and psychological perspective. You lose track of your calories. You never feel satisfied. You never feel like you had a whole meal. But from an actual biological standpoint, it is one of the worst things that you can do when you're trying to lose weight. Because if you're eating sugar throughout or food, right? You're eating food throughout the day. Well, you're constantly releasing insulin because your body's job is to, okay, we got to release insulin and break down the food and get the sugar out of the blood. So you eat, you release sugar into the blood, the pancreas releases insulin to get the sugar out of the blood. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. When you're constantly putting out insulin, your body's in an absorptive phase. And in this phase, insulin not only stimulates enzymes that help store sugar and build up fat, it also inhibits other enzymes that release release sugar from the storage, from being stored, and the storage of and the breaking down of fat. Does that make sense? Okay, so when you constantly have insulin going on,
yes,
it promotes fat storage. When, in addition to that, though, when you constantly have a surge of insulin, it's also releasing enzymes that that keep stored fat from breaking down.
Okay.
Because it's like, well, I've got all this blood sugar.
Right.
I've got to digest this. I can't have this banging around in my system. Mm-hmm. So the idea here is to eat every 4 hours so that you successfully move from what we call the absorptive phase of absorbing all that sugar to what's called the post-absorptive phase when your body goes into your energy stores for sustenance. One of the worst things you could do.
Okay, but every 4 hours you can have a little meal.
No, you can have a meal. A breakfast, a lunch, a snack, and dinner. You can have an actual meal.
Okay. Well, not the meal I have. I eat like a horse, which is bad.
No, it isn't. You work out all the time. So you find balance and you eat good quality food. Apparently, from what we all remember, kale, it was on your menu. Whew, that was a rough day. Anyway. Good Lord. All right. Another one.
Yes.
Eating diet foods. Diet foods like diet soda is going to help you slim down.
Oh, no, that's crap.
That is crap. And it's because of all those chemicals in these products. They're called obesogens. And in fact, there was a study at Purdue University that found that rats who were given artificial sweeteners ate more calories and gained more weight than rats that were given sugar.
And they started dancing funny, too.
Rats.
Really? I don't know.
I'm so gullible.
But you didn't really think, really.
I don't know. Look at Janice. You never know if she's serious.
No, I always know that Janice doesn't know what she's talking about.
No, I passed the one thing I did pass. This one, I just did it right. If this was a test, I would be ahead of both Jake and Brittany.
No.
But did you truly thought that the rats physically got up and danced?
I didn't know if they started shaking or something.
Yeah, they start doing.
Well, that would be called a seizure. not hip hop.
I've been to a few clubs where. When it looks like when people dance. You know, it's in the old days, of course.
I'm not going to use the right term.
Are we running long? Do you want more? Or should I?
Keep it coming.
Should I keep it coming? All right, here's another one. Static stretching before working out is crucial to preventing injury.
False.
It is false. Static stretching after your workout can be beneficial, but static stretching before a workout does not increase your range of motion. And many studies have suggested that static stretching before you lift actually destabilizes your muscles and weakens them by up to 30%. It's all about dynamic stretching and a cardiovascular warm-up. Arm circles, knee circles, hip circles, leg swings, and a cardio warm-up. 5 minutes each body.
But not just like...
No static stretching. In fact, when you static stretch the body and you're cold, you're actually more prone to an injury. Because you're pulling on a muscle that's cold.
Right.
Gotcha. Huh? Ah! There's a lot in this book, to be honest. Maybe I...
Well, we can come back. We can do more another day.
Another day? There's a lot in here, I realize. All right.
Sure is a pretty book.
You want one more?
Admit, yes.
It is a pretty book, I know.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
All right, here's one more.
Okay.
Muscle can be converted into fat, or fat can be converted into muscle.
I think fat can become muscle.
No. Just as fat can't transform into muscle, muscle will not transform into fats.
You could be a big, fat, muscular person.
No, building muscle and losing body fat are two completely different processes within your body.
So your body can burn fat and your body can build muscle, but the idea of converting one to the other is about as possible as turning lead into gold.
Okay, look at my ass. My ass has grown probably about a good 2 inches thicker.
But that's because you've built muscle.
But still, like if I squeeze it, junk in the trunk, tight, ganga. But it's bigger. Wait. It's a bigger ass, but it's hard.
Wait, are you saying you've built muscle or you?
I think I've gained weight. I have gained probably a solid 10 pounds in the last year.
Okay.
And.
So are you thinking that your ass turned to fat or muscle?
I think it's originally fat, but I started working out with this more weight.
Yes. Mm.
Now that I have 10 pounds more,
whoa,
I'm working out.
Yeah.
And now.
Yeah.
It's hard, big ass muscle.
But then you've built some muscle. And you've burned some fat. But you can't convert fat into muscle.
But I'm still 142. I'm still 142
pounds.
Yeah,
but you've lost some fat and you've built some muscle. So you might be 142, but I bet your body composition is leaner. Your percentage of body fat has probably gone down. Uh-huh.
I just thought I had a big-ass muscle.
You might, but you did not convert fat into muscle. Impossible.
All right, then I'll write that down.
Yeah. All right, maybe we'll do another Slim Myth one because I got a lot here.
Okay.
Yeah. Now what?
Oh, we're over now. You're going to do this again sometime.
Well, I feel like I could go on and on. And it's,
no, that's
it's
true.
Like
no,
a
we'll
35-minute segment.
No, we could come back and do some more.
Another show, maybe?
Yeah, and another show.
A sequel.
Yeah, I like these a lot.
Part two.
Very good. Part two of Slim Myths.
Stay tuned.
Coming up.
Oh, coming up today?
No, coming up at another day.
Oh,
on
so
another
we're
day.
We're teasing a future show.
We're teasing future shows. Remember, that's what we used to do.
Do we tease future shows or future segments?
No, future shows.
We did that?
What do you mean? You mean in the old days?
Did we do... Well, when that would have been really smart of us.
When we were doing fire coverage? You mean in the old days?
On KFI? Oh, Jesus. Well, yeah, soon we're going to be on iHeartRadio, so we're going to have to really like professional this up a little bit.
Yeah, we better figure something out.
It's like 50 million unique users, dude. We gotta sort of clean this up a bit.
We gotta kind of
shape this up a bit.
I promise.
Woo!
They're
like, we're going to use you as one of our pillars of our platform, our, you know, custom talk on demand. I'm like, have you heard our show?
It's like, wait. Number one podcast, award winning.
Yeah, but who the heck were we up against? Like, you know, Marge Fendunka and, you know, and like,
I love
cheese.
Marge Fendunka's show. I think that's fantastic.
I mean, who are we really up against in the category here, people?
Oh my God.
Jeez, it's not like Dr. Oz has a podcast and we're whooping his ass.
Marge Fendunken.
Oh my God. You know where I got that name?
No.
There was a hater on Facebook that I loved so much. Her name was Noreen Fendunka. And no, I'm not kidding. So she wrote something on my Facebook wall, and she's like 60 something years old. And she was like, I hate you. You're mean. I want to punch you in your fat face, bitch.
No.
And I swear on my life, there are always like these 60 plus little old ladies. And they're like, you're mean. And then they threaten me with physical violence and call me a name. And my friends piss themselves. They go on my page and like pull out like and like send me the little picture of like Noreen Fendunka. And like, I mean, it's unbelievable. I'll pull some up for you.
Oh,
and they're like
God.
The sweetest looking little old ladies. They're vicious, man. They're vicious little buggers.
I
hope a dog attacks you and you fall out of a building.
Oh, no.
I hope one of those people punches you in your face.
Seriously?
Oh, dude. Yeah, Noreen Fendunka. I swear to God. This is a vicious little bugger. Yeah.
Oh, God bless her. Well, fight as she will.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. And Kelsey wants to have a chat with you.
Hey, Kelsey, what's going on?
Not much. How about you?
Not much, buddy.
Good. So, well, I'm from Vancouver Island in British Columbia.
Okay.
you know where that is in Canada? It's
yeah.
Like off Vancouver. So.
Absolutely.
And I'm 20 years old, and I am quite overweight, unfortunately.
Okay.
So my issue, I guess, is I travel to, like, third world countries.
Okay.
I travel to, like, Tijuana, and I build homes, and I'm making a trip to go to Africa, and I feel like I kind of just put everything else first other than what I need.
Okay.
And I have no idea where to start. Like, I mean, I go to the gym and I look around and, you know, I think I'm eating healthy, but I don't really know what I'm doing. So, yeah.
Okay. So many different things that you brought up in this one question. So is your question, all right.
Sorry.
No, please don't be sorry. I'm just extrapolating my entry point. So, all right. Number one, are you saying you don't know how to lose the weight? Are you saying you don't know why you aren't motivated to actually do what it takes to lose the weight? The Africa stuff is an irrelevant part of the conversation because... My question is, does that make you happy?
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, then that's not, like, if it's not something that's blocking your ability to take care of yourself, then it's not mm-hmm. something that you need to remove. But I think what you're saying is you have a really easy time giving back, but a very hard time receiving.
Exactly, yes.
And a very hard time giving to yourself.
Yes, 100%.
Let me see that question, Janice, that you gave me, that this girl, I learned this trick during daytime television. When your producers do like a pre-interview, you get the pre-interview the night before, and then you have
yeah.
the ability to go back in your notes and hammer people with the points. So you said, okay, my question is, where am I supposed to start? I have attempted changing my diet and exercise habits, but I go to the gym and look around, and I'm not really sure what I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the part about living my life honestly? Where's that line? That's the best one.
I
feel
like
as though
one,
my weight has held me back from living my life honestly.
Yep.
There you go. What are you talking about?
I just feel like I'm uncomfortable when I go and do things. Like, I feel like I don't want to do it because I'm embarrassed, and there's so many things that I would like to do, but I just, you know, oh, I can't, or I don't want to, and I feel like I start believing what I'm saying. I talk myself out of it because I'm embarrassed with my weight and my health, especially.
Okay. A couple of questions. Number one. All right, I'm not quite sure if you have Janice syndrome, which I'll get to. Oh, I think I did figure out these two things. I think I just put them together. All right, so my first question was going to be, there's two different sides of this. Number one is, what's your weight affording you? So I've talked about this a million times. People keep weight on for a reason. It affords them something, right? It's providing them comfort in one way or another. And then you've got this whole perfection thing that Janice has got. So if you're like, I'm not going to engage in a relationship, or I'm not going to go after that job, or I'm not going to take that beach vacation until, you know, 20 pounds from now, 30 pounds from now, whatever your goal weight is,
mm-hmm.
then you've got the thing that Janice does where it's like, unless I can present myself as perfect as possible, I'm not going to do it. Do you have
mm-hmm.
that? Okay. That usually comes from this feeling that you have to be perfect, or it has to be perfect, or it won't be accepted, or you won't be loved, or it won't be good enough.
Totally, totally.
Oh, see, Janice, it's a little you on the phone.
Well, we're a strong union.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Okay, here is the problem. So whatever intimacy you're afraid of, or whatever vulnerability you think you're skirting by keeping the weight on. So then part of me would almost venture to say one of the reasons you keep the weight on is so you don't have to engage in these various aspects of life where you will run the risk of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, I don't try the relationship because I'm overweight. I don't go after that job because I'm overweight. And the reality is that whether you're overweight or not, you're still going to risk being rejected in every facet of life.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, I wonder if the weight isn't providing you with an excuse to not engage.
Probably. Makes sense.
Okay. Does that resonate with you at all?
Yeah, a bit. Here, like little parts of it. So What? Yeah, like I think I'm just not comfortable, and so I do. I use it as an excuse because I don't know how to be comfortable, and I think part of it is honestly that I'm uncomfortable, and part of it is, yeah, I want to be perfect, and I don't want to present
myself. Right, but you're not going to be ever, because no one is. So tell me, what if you say, like, I'm living my life honestly, what's the first thing you would do if you were your ideal perfect weight?
Oh, gosh. You stumped me. And see, the first thing that comes to mind is I would just drop everything and just go and help other people around the world, because I feel like I'd had fixed myself, so now I can start focusing on others. I'd be more comfortable doing that. Does that make sense?
That's exactly what you're doing now.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know, but
what
I feel
is
like
living your life honestly? What does that mean? How would your life be different if you, quote, lived it honestly?
I think I would just be more comfortable being me around everyone than just around particular people who have accepted me.
How have you been dishonest then in your everyday life?
To an extent.
How have you been inauthentic?
Jeez, I don't know. I'm loving. I'm funny. I'm aware.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you how you've been inauthentic. How are you not living your life honestly? What would be different?
I hide behind my weight.
Okay, honey, but what would be different if you didn't?
I'd be adventurous and happy and...
Adventurous. Example. Yes. You sound just like my contestants. You speak
in...
No. Listen to me. Don't be sorry. No. Do not be sorry. You're speaking in these sweeping generalizations. I'd be healthy. What does that mean? I'd be adventurous. What does that mean?
Adventurous? I would, you know, wake up in the morning and go for these big hikes, and I would be more willing to join all these different fun classes.
You'd engage more with people?
Yes.
Okay, and you'd engage more with other people, you'd socialize more. What about romance?
Yes, definitely. I don't have a romance life.
And you would if you felt comfortable about your body?
Yes.
Okay, and what about profession? Are you supremely confident there?
I am. Hopefully, I'm starting my program soon to be a child life specialist.
Okay.
So
I don't know
if you know what that is.
No, but it sounds cool.
Yeah, you work in a hospital with...
You'll probably be working with my kids, God knows, I'm sure.
You work with kids that are going through, like, traumatic experiences.
Oh, you're definitely going to be working with my kids at one point.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah, I mean,
stop. Okay, got it. All right, so you feel comfortable at work because that's you giving back and being, like, everyone's hero again. But you don't feel comfortable in a relationship. You don't feel comfortable socializing. You don't feel comfortable just being and having people give to you and being loved.
Totally.
Okay. So that's how you're living your life in an inauthentic way. And your concern is that if you engage in these kinds of friendships and romantic relationships at this point, because you're overweight, what will happen?
I'll be rejected.
You'll be rejected. Okay, guess what? What would you say if I told you that even if you weren't overweight, you still run the risk of rejection?
Which is true, yeah.
Janice is not overweight, and I still go through the same crap with her on the show. I mean, I don't know if you heard the show where she talked about having a serving set for 20 people but never inviting anyone over.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to tell you is that I'm venturing to say that the weight is providing you with an excuse to not be vulnerable and not take the risk.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I can't. I'm overweight. But the reality is that even if you weren't overweight, your fear of rejection will still exist.
Yeah.
So what you have to know is a couple of things. Number one, we all get rejected. That is a foregone conclusion. You need to understand that it will happen and accept that. And understand that as much as it happens is as much as it won't happen. So for every time you get rejected, there is somebody that will value you as well. And you've got to put yourself out there and you've got to take those risks. And the hope is that you will start taking the risks with people that are more loving, more inviting, more welcoming. And then there are times when you just, you know, you'll like the guy or the girl and they won't like you back. That happens. It happens to everybody. It happens to all of us. Mm-hmm. So what you then need to know is you're strong enough to stand that setback. You're strong enough to endure that risk or that loss or that heartbreak or that rejection, that it is no validation of your worth. And you also need to simultaneously start giving to yourself in the way that you give to others. Because yeah. the more you do that, the more confident you're going to feel, the more strong you're going to feel, the more deserving and the more worthy you're going to feel. So you won't be so all out on limb with regard to, oh my God, if this person rejects me, the world will end. You won't define yeah. yourself, because right now you define yourself. And again, this is what all my contestants do. You define yourself by what the world thinks of you. So yeah. you're like, all right, if I'm going out and I'm saving everybody's day, I'm a hero, and that means I have value and I'm worthy. But, you know, the minute I turn around and I, you know, I get rejected, that means I'm worthless and all your greatest fears and insecurities will come to life.
Yeah.
But what you need to do is you've got to set that value through an internal compass. You have to say, I'm worth it, I'm deserving, and you have to do it for you. You have to give to yourself in the way that you give to other people. And then instead of saying, I saved this kid's life, or I built that house for this family, or I did this in Mexico, and therefore I have value, you intrinsically have value by investing effort and energy into yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a big part of like, all right, you want to know where to start? This is so easy, dude. You eat 1,200 to 1,600 calories and move your body as often as possible, as intensely as possible. Yep. I'll send you Body Revolution. You want to know where to get started? You cannot fail. 90 days, 15 workouts, starting from very beginner, taking you all the way to like a Biggest Loser, hardcore athlete, diet plan in there. Like, it's bulletproof. You want to know what to do? That's what you do. I'll send you that. So we can never, ever argue that point again.
Yeah.
But my point is, you're not doing it for a reason. And that's the thing that you need to work on. And that's the thing you need to look at. And your baby step here is going to be saying, all right, every single day, I'm going to do something for myself. Every day. What did I do for me today? What did I do to love myself today, to treat myself today, to value myself today? And it could be a workout. It could be a manicure, pedicure. It could be watching your favorite show. As long as it's not a treat that's self-destructive, like pizza or, you know, whatever. So exercise number one. Exercise number two, start taking risks now and stretching your emotional fabric. So whatever you think you want to do or you think you'd change it now.
Okay.
So I want you to just, I don't know, whatever group you think you'd join when you're thinner, join it now.
Okay.
And start there. Start cultivating friends and putting yourself out there. And if you get rejected, good. Then you're like, all right, well, that happened and it didn't feel good, but at least I know I can survive it.
Yeah, and move on to the next.
And if you don't, then great. You've built a friend. So I want you to try those two things. And then the very last thing is, usually these deep, deep feelings of like the need to be perfect or you'll be unlovable, or the deep-seated insecurities of like the I only have value if I am saving everybody else's day, that external validation usually comes from some aspect of your past. Doesn't usually. It absolutely comes from some aspect of your past. So my best advice to you is to look at the first time that you felt not good enough or inferior or insufficient or imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it comes from a parent that felt imperfect, insecure, inferior, and projected it onto you, and then you internalized it and took it on.
Yeah.
Like, we have parents on the show all the time, and they talk about their kid being overweight and, you know, how worried they are. I had a mom on the other day that was like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help my daughter. And she's like, I said, okay, brace yourself. And she goes, I know you're going to beat me up. I beat myself up all the time. And I was like, no, that's not what I'm going to do. But she felt like people would look at her daughter and think she was a bad mom. Because she had insecurities about that, which all parents do. But but then her daughter interpreted her desire to try to help her lose weight as, you're no good, you're imperfect, we can't love you like this, we have to fix you.
Yeah.
So if you can go back and look at, okay, where did this start? When was I first made to feel this way? Was this really about me? Or was this about the other person's insecurities and their own issues and their own concerns and their own feelings of not being good enough?
Yeah.
My friend, I wonder if I was going to say, his name's Angel. He's a friend of mine's boyfriend, right? He was never good enough. Never, ever good enough for his dad. And the thing is, his dad never felt like he had achieved what he was supposed to or that he was the man or the provider that he should have been. So then Angel was never good enough at baseball and never good enough with his grades and never good enough at all these different things because his dad felt like he didn't achieve it. And Angel was going to achieve it. Angel was going to be the man he always wanted him to be. So now Angel is always running around trying to be everybody's hero.
Yeah.
And he's failing because you can't please everybody all the time.
Yeah.
So I need you to look at that and I need you to say, is this really mine to own? I need you to pour as much energy into yourself as you possibly can so that you do start to establish and develop a value that's intrinsic and internalized instead of externalized, because that's a recipe for failure. And then I need you to start taking risks and stretching that emotional fabric and knowing that you'll survive the setbacks and that the victories are worth it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sure. Yeah.
Think about it.
You stumped me again.
I mean, I haven't stumped you. You're free to respond in any way you choose.
No, for sure. No, I totally get what you're saying. It makes 100% sense. Everything you're saying. So I do. I need to just get out there. Get moving, get out there.
Well, there's more to it than that.
Well, no, no, for sure. I know.
All right.
All right.
Think about it. Janice will call you back, and she's going to get you the Body Revolution program, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, honey.
You're awesome.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Not ready.
Really?
No. Nope. Didn't hear anything I said.
No, no, she's gone.
Yeah, no, I know. No, didn't hear anything I said. Not a word. Right, I need to get out there and get moving. I'm like, oh my God, I just gave you 20 things to do and not one was get out there and get moving. Nope, not there yet.
You know, you said something.
That's okay.
You said something about, you know, when people say everything's not right and everybody doesn't like me. And, you know, and I know I don't mean to bring up my poetry class because I know you're shocked that I'm taking poetry. But my poetry teacher, Elizabeth, she said, open the box of that.
Okay.
What is that? It's like abstract language. We use these big metaphors like, oh, my life sucks. Okay. And it's like you did with her. You hone it down. Well, what sucks? Your life doesn't suck. There's something in it. Like, open the box of what's inside that.
But did you hear? She's like, yeah. Didn't take in anything I actually said. She just was like, right, okay, yeah, right, okay. Make this conversation stop.
Yeah, she was uncomfortable.
She was extremely uncomfortable. That's okay. You know, it's like you can't push harder than you can push. So you kind of, you know, little try this, try that. There was not a lot of absorption in that conversation. Right, I just need to get out there. I'm like, that's not what I said. Okay.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. This is not easy. Stuff is not easy at all. You know, that's the thing. People do things that are destructive for many different reasons, but whether it's their compulsive spending, their compulsive eating, their compulsive drinking, it is a coping mechanism that they have used to survive psychologically until this point in their life. And there comes a point when those coping mechanisms and those survival mechanisms are doing more harm than good. But letting them go is hard work. So,
yeah,
that's all right. She sounds young. She'll get there.
Well, she's from Canada, you know.
I love my Canadians.
I love Canadians.
I love my friggin' Canadians, man.
Oh.
You've seen her as the star of NBC's hit show, The Biggest Loser. Now is your chance to see her live. Jillian Michaels, Maximize Your Life Tour.
It's time for you to ask, why not me? Why not me to be healthy? Why not me to be happy? Your health is the platform that your entire life is built upon. And when your health is solid, every aspect of your life will flourish. Join me as we motivate each other and maximize our lives.
Visit JillianMichaels.com for details.
It's a show.
Yeah. Cool, huh?
Well, are there dancers? Like, what do you mean it's a show? Is there like...
It's a live show. It's like a very Anthony Robbins, Marianne Williams and combined,
no,
combined with Dr. Oz sort of hybrid show. It's like everything
really?
You need to know about... It's self-science and sweat. It's that kind of thing. It's like all the diet info, all the exercise info, and then all of the sort of why you're in your own way and how to get out of it info.
Are you going to wear like a lav?
I think so, yeah.
No
a little
kidding.
Mic. There's like LED screens behind me and all kinds of stuff. It's cool. It's supposed to be cool.
Are there pyrotechnics?
No. You know, no pyrotechnics. It's like insurance issue.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Way to disappoint people, Janice. Way to just set me up for that. Now, a perfect person would have pyrotechnics.
That's really
Madonna
cool.
And Kanye had pyrotechnics.
Now maybe I can help you.
How?
Well,
you're going to bring all the Canucks?
The Canucks.
You're going to rally the troops?
I'll rally some troops.
Huh? Okay.
And I think maybe help you with the wardrobe, which I told you, I promised you I'd help you with your wardrobe.
Super.
And and
look how happy it is.
And I could do some dancing. I could do maybe some dancing in the background. Because I know you said that it wouldn't be inspiring enough for me to do the actual exercise videos because it wasn't aspirational enough, which I still don't quite understand that word. But I think on a live show...
Aspirational.
I'm very good at live stuff, being the old can-can dancer.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe when you're talking, I can just kind of go across the stage going, celebrate good times, come on, do-do-do-do. Uh-huh. Just like this. And every time you do something dynamic, I can just be in the back going, woohoo! Yeah! Right on, Jillian!
Okay.
Security's gonna drag
aspirational
away.
Is the object of ambition. Do you think you're an object of ambition?
Not particularly today. Maybe tomorrow.
It's good to have goals.
Well, maybe you need an interpreter. Maybe you need a Canadian interpreter. Because, you know, you don't speak the language very well.
So you can say full scap and ginchies and
ginchy,
wobbly pops.
Toques, wobbly pops.
Produce.
I could just stand in the corner. Like, you know, in the, like how they have the hearing impaired interpreter.
No. There'd be
over
you.
In the corner. And I could just stand with a single spotlight.
Okay.
With maybe a pink hue. But I'm good in pinks and ambers. Just that shining down on me.
Yeah.
As I interpret the Canadian language. Your American language to the Canadian public.
Okay.
Oh, God.
We just single-handedly lost all Canadian show sales. Live Nation. John Carl is going to get a call from Bob Kane. I don't know what happened. Yeah, I just had all the shows in Canada cancel.
Can we just
within
Janice,
a 30-minute period.
Can we put Janice on the bus? And
let's put Janice on the marquee. And Janice.
It's just my head. Just like this in the corner, like this.
Ah, that'll be awesome. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the interpreter.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, God.
Type girl.
Thank God
well,
for me.
Well, we will get back to you on those dates.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You haven't said the dates yet. You promise you'll tell me when the dates are?
I will do it.
Okay. Excellent. All right.
It's probably time to go.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start looking for some outfits.
Okay.
Because, you know.
We should go and you can look for some outfits to wear.
I got that flannel shirt. I wore that one time.
Okay.
Flannel.
Yeah.
And,
make sure to get your Timberland boots on.
Got my Timberland boots.
Don't forget your rainbow bracelet from the college.
My rainbow bracelets and my headband.
Don't forget your Something About Mary hair product. Don't forget that. You know. And don't forget your Depends for your pee squirts, because I am funny.
I know.
I'm
that's
funny.
Right. And I will get many pee squirts, especially when I get a little bit nervous.
Because
I will be a little bit nervous on a stage.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, I like to have a. I'd like to have a per diem, though.
You're asking for money now?
Well, at least to cover my supper. You'll pay for my supper, won't you?
Your you know, supper?
Well, you know when they're all big shows, eh? They bring the supper in the back, the trays. Chicken and rice, usually, and stuff. And everybody grabs a plate and slops up their supper.
Well, if I'm providing supper, why am I going to give you a per diem?
Okay, well, if I get to eat the supper, though, on the stage.
You want to eat on the... How are you going to translate if you're...
You do it before, in the big shows, eh? You eat before in the backstage. They have the supper laid out by the caterers.
All right, then I'm sure it's time to go.
Jesus, yeah. Who's talking so much?
Oh, my translator.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm excited. I'm going to get those... You make sure you give me those dates.
I will do it.
Okay.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.